In Focus, rolling along on a Friday morning, News Radio K-Man, Brandon Peoples and Nick McNamara in studio. We're talking today with Steve Smethers, director of the A.Q. Miller Journalism and Mass Communication Department at Kansas State University, Gloria Freeland, a retired assistant professor from the department. And we're going to talk a little bit now in this next segment about some of the aspects of the research that you guys did here on media deserts, and we kind of defined that here in the first segment.
Yeah, we sort of set the stage of what news deserts are, and this is sort of an application of exactly, you know, what we were talking about, the effects of losing local news has on a community, but specifically in Kansas. Tell us a little bit about what you were looking at in Baldwin City.
Well, we've done a number of studies. Baldwin City is really the most recent. And we started out in 2007. At that time, I was interested in the whole idea of what would happen if a newspaper went out of business and what kind of media would be a satisfying substitute for local populations. And we had heard that in Humboldt, which is down between Iola and Chanute in southeastern Kansas, we heard that the Humboldt Union had gone out of business. And so we immediately got a faculty consortium together with the Huff Boyd National Center for Community Media, which Gloria has been running for the past many years, and we went in to do a study on what people missed about their newspaper, first of all, but the second thing that we looked at was how people felt about their communities and what kind of an economic indicator that was. And Gloria, you want to talk about that study a little bit?
Sure. What we found was, one of the things we found was that the newspaper is kind of a pillar of the community, just as the schools and churches and post office are. And people really, really were concerned about not having a newspaper.
And we found that they missed a lot of things. With an aging population, of course, one of the things people pay attention to is obituaries, but they also missed advertising. And the idea that they had some way of being able to keep in touch with their retail community. They missed government stories. They missed the coverage of the local school district. I mean, when you stop and think about it, think of all the kinds of news that is transferred every day through local media, and we don't even stop and think about it until it's gone, you know? And that was the kind of horror that the people in Humboldt had to put up with. Now there was somebody who did come along after 2 years and start a newspaper in Humboldt. We had a similar thing that happened several years ago in Almena, which is out in northern Norton County in northwestern Kansas. And that was a situation where a town's newspaper went out of business. And local communities, volunteers, got together to start a brand new newspaper. Right? You want to talk about that?
Right. There was a group of faculty from Kansas State went out to Almena and worked with the community and eventually came up with a paper that they called the Prairie Dog Press. And it's still running today. And if I remember correctly, the Almena project was 1990.
They're in their 27th year. They're in their 27th year. Can you imagine a bunch of people getting together on a volunteer basis and putting out a newspaper? But that's exactly what they do. It's a nonprofit corporation, and it's still in existence today.
That's really impressive.
Well, what does that tell you? It tells you, first of all, that with people seeing their newspaper go out of business, they see that as an economic indicator, and they see that as their town dying. In both communities, we've done focus group research both in Humboldt and Almena, and in both cases, we had people say, "I don't want my town to die, so I volunteer down here." Down in Humboldt, when we first did studies down there, we had a—I'll never forget—there was an elderly woman who showed up, and she'd lived in Humboldt her entire life, and she said, "I'm not ready to see this town die." And you know something? That was pretty much indicative of everybody around the table. We had a much younger person, a downtown dentist in Humboldt, who was head of the Humboldt Industries. And he said, you know, the first thing that you pick up whenever you visit a community is the local paper. You want some kind of a barometer of the business in that community. You want to know a little bit about the town, what kind of a community it might be to live in. And when you don't have a newspaper, it's a huge economic disadvantage. Well, based on these studies, we've been involved in some other things. After a tornado ripped up the town of Greensburg in 2007, we were part of the response team that went to Greensburg, and we were people here in the A.Q. Miller School, along with Bert Biles, who is now retired from university, brainstormed the idea of the Kiowa County Media Center, which is a state-of-the-art digital production facility in Greensburg. And it was all built on the basis of taking advantage of new media technology in this town that had a new spirit. We're going to build Greensburg, we're going to build it to be green, and all of that kind of thing. Well, we did some focus groups, and at that time, the community of Greensburg was planning on doing a kind of an online news repository where people could contribute local news and things like that. So we showed a prototype of this to focus groups just to see what they would think of something like that. And so, this is great. And I said, okay, now, I want you to imagine that your local newspaper, the Kiowa County Signal, announced someday that they're unable to print. What would you think of this as a substitute for the newspaper? We did four different groups down there. And you know what we found? To a letter, every focus group said the same thing: you can't be much of a town without a newspaper. And so that shows the relevance of the central communication source in a community. Well, we were armed with a lot of stuff when we went to Baldwin City a couple of years ago. Now, Baldwin, I imagine most people are familiar with Baldwin City, college town of about 4,800 people in southern Douglas County, Baker University, with about 1,000 students in the community, is located there. And, you know, we went over and did focus groups after they lost their newspaper, the Baldwin City Signal. And interestingly enough, we went in with the idea of finding out what is the impact of digital technology now. You've got, you don't have a newspaper anymore, but somebody over there was trying audio streaming, for example, as a way to serve the community. Somebody had started kind of a Facebook community news page, and then you had all of these different social media platforms over there. And we did focus groups, and we found out that, people didn't like their local newspaper, but boy, did they ever miss it when it was gone, because there were so many things that they took for granted that was contained in this traditional source of community news. And the entire community in Baldwin, just like anywhere else, was built around having this shared source of community news. So guess what happened with social media? The school district, for example, had a listserv of all of their patrons, so they were communicating very well with their patrons. And then the Arts Council had a remarkable kind of social media group set up where they were able to communicate amongst their membership. The Senior Citizen Center in Baldwin City even had classes to teach people how to use social media. And so everybody did a really good job with communicating with their own constituencies, and still nobody knew what was going on in the community because there was no central source. So what we posit here is one simple fact, and that is communities have been built around the sharing of news. And when you take that source away, you better have something that people can readily adjust to. Because if they can't do that, then you've got a community that's going to be fragmented. And that's exactly what happened in Baldwin City. Now, incidentally, somebody has come along and started a newspaper in Baldwin City. It's in its second year a publication. It's called the Baldwin City Community News, and we'll see how this guy does over there. But certainly to be able to say that it is a terrible loss in the community is almost an understatement. I mean, we even had it pointed out there was a banker who showed up at our focus group, and he's one of three banks inside of Baldwin City. And he said, this is an economic development issue. He said, advertising is an economic development issue because how do I build a new customer base? For our present customers, I can send out advertisements in our monthly statements. But how do I reach out and build up a brand new audience? It's very, very difficult to do. So advertising plays a huge role in helping a community's economy move along. And again, we may hate advertising, and we may have people listening to this station who tune out commercials and things like that, but I'll tell you something. It is the one thing that makes it possible for Manhattan to reopen after the COVID-19 shutdown. It's the one thing that makes it possible for us to keep up with community events, and it certainly is something that makes it possible for us to be able to gauge our community economically.
You've got that right, Steve and Steve and Gloria. But we're running short on time here, and I wanted to get one last question in. You know, we were looking at sort of through the paper. One, I just want to compliment you on how good it was. I think it's a very good paper. But at the end, there was sort of a bit of talk about how alternative media sort of didn't really fill the gaps completely. You know, those listservs and those email blasts and those social media accounts. In light of that, and also how you sort of you brought up a little bit of nonprofit media, do you see a step forward, a way through these news deserts? Do you see nonprofit media as a possible way to progress in these situations, or is there another route, or is it something that we still need to? Is there something still that we need to find out?
Yeah, I think the nonprofit organization is a possible way to go. There's been some experiments sort of with that, and some of them have worked quite well. I can't think of the actual names of some of them, but
Well, in Almena, Kansas, that's a nonprofit organization. That one's gone very well, and everybody has contributed news and information. But you know, one of the things we've dealt with this week. In Rawlins County, Kansas, out in Atwood, the Rawlins County Square Deal printed their last newspaper last week. They've been trying to figure out a way to do this. And the town's starting to take notice. Oh, my God, we're not going to have a newspaper anymore. And in that particular situation out there, one of the things that they are considering is the nonprofit organization route. You know, nonprofit, volunteers, things like that, but that's still the county seat, and that means the county printing, the legal notices for the county, the city, and the school district have had to go find another place to do their legal publications. They chose the Oberlin Herald, which has, like, I believe, 15 readers in Rawlins County, and so it means that there's still revenue out there. There are still businesses in Atwood that thrive and need to be able to have an advertising platform. And so I don't know if the nonprofit organization is going to be a really, really good opportunity there or not. Now, there are some public radio stations that have tried to bridge that gap. There's one grant that has been awarded to public broadcasters here in Kansas to try to fund more exchange of local news. And that, I imagine, will be a big factor in taking care of some of this. In other words, I think part of the way that you fight a news desert is to see what other forms of public media, of legacy media might thrive, and maybe that would work. But you certainly have to have other types of platforms. And we're talking about communities made up of aging populations who are technophobic and who don't like new media channels. So and one other thing, really very quickly pointed out, is a problem of technology. Not all of our communities in Kansas have really good internet infrastructure. K-State has found that in trying to deliver courses to students out in rural areas here during the COVID-19 shutdown. And we found that to be a huge issue. And so it means then that we do need a certain amount of legacy media to be able to carry the burden. And I certainly hope that that can happen for towns like Atwood and any other community that's threatened with local media loss.
This is a great topic, and I wish we had more time, but we're going to have to end it there. Steve, appreciate the time this morning, and Steve Smethers, Gloria Freeland, and we'll have you on again sometime real soon.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot. And thanks to Nick McNamara as well for joining in here. And we'll talk with Sunset Zoo folks after the break on News Radio KMAN.